to brag on Morgan and Drew and really kind of all of our student ministry staff. If you don't know me, my name is Chris Dillashaw. I'm the pastor of students and families. And, you know, summer's a busy time for us. We had three camps, a mission trip to Southeast Asia, 13 different venues that we were in around the north side of San Antonio with life group for middle schoolers and life group for high schoolers. And it just was a real busy season for us. But I share that with you this morning really just to say thank you. Thank you for being a church that invests into the lives of students, that takes student ministry seriously. Thank you for giving faithfully to this church to help us create a place in the space for teenagers to experience Jesus. And I want to just encourage you to continue to give faithfully and be back next week because you heard some stories. Student Ministry Sunday is really about us including our students so they would know that they matter, that they have a place, that they belong here. And next week, you're going to get to hear some more stories about what God did in and through us as a church, really around the world. And so I just want to encourage you to continue to give faithfully to our church. And this morning, I just want to also welcome those who are watching on the live stream. And if you're a guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. We'd love for you to fill that out. We don't really need anything else from you. And you can place it in the basket as those are passed by in a few moments. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. If you've got any questions, you can write that down. And children, one more time, if you guys are with us again this Sunday, and there's an activity book back there in the back. If you want to grab one of those, moms and dads, feel free at any point just to stand up and get one of those. So Pastor Kirk's been using this phrase, get in the game, the last couple of weeks, and we're about to finish 26 weeks in the book of Acts. And we'll jump into the book of Acts here in a minute, but I just want to quickly tell some students and parents how you can get into the game, the student ministry game, just to remind you a little bit about what's going on. This Sunday is our last Wednesday night of the summer, and so if you're just looking for a study break, if you've already gone to school or gone back to school, excuse me, or you're just wanting to, I guess, celebrate, it's going to be one of the last nights of summer, come on, join us, Ablaze at the Movies here at the Community Center this Wednesday night. And then we take our fall break, but we're going to be back in a really big way with Paint Wars. And I just really wanted to highlight that one for you because if you're visiting today, that's a great opportunity for you to get connected in your life group for the fall. Moms and dads, if you've got a student who struggles to come, you know, that might be one of the times you play that parent card and you say, I'm gonna make you go get some paint just wiped all over your face. You're going to have a great time. Get out of the car, go. And just give them an opportunity to get connected in their fall life group. It's really going to be awesome. And then finally, you know, we always want to highlight on Student Ministry Sunday our fall recruiting initiative. We're almost completely staffed, but this week, as I was just praying for you and thinking about all of us together and just thinking about the two homework assignments that Pastor Kirk gave us over the last 2 weeks to learn our story and to be able to share it in 3 minutes or less, and then to be able to learn how to share and explain the gospel. One of the things that was just kind of stirred in my heart to pray is that there might be somebody who was walking through one of those simple homework exercises this week, and you were like, man, God, I think you're doing something new inside me, and I need a place, an outlet for whatever God's bubbling up inside of you. Well, good news this morning. We got a place for you on our student ministry team. We got all kinds of volunteer spots. And so if you want to get out your phone and take a picture of that, or better yet, if you want to right now, you could just text the word student to that number right there. Seriously, get out your phones and take a picture because you're going to need them in a minute too. But I just really want to encourage you. If you're looking for a place to be used by the Lord, we've got that place for you. Cool. Enough of the announcements. You know, like I said, Pastor Kirk's been using this phrase, get in the game. And I thought it'd be fitting to close out our series if we just played a game together. That's why I ask you to get out your phones, because there's going to be a live poll here in a second. And the easiest way for you to join the live poll is to text Crossbridge to the number 37607. And the game's not going to work very well unless you guys participate. And so jump in. If you prefer, you can use that URL that's right there to join into this live poll. I promise we're not Facebook. We're not collecting your phone number. We're going to send you a bunch of stuff. You can join with confidence. It's completely anonymous. And as you guys are doing that, I want to invite my friend Mason Klein on up here. Mason's going to help me with this game. Come on up, Mason. Would you guys welcome Mason to the stage? Mason's a member of our student leadership team, and he is a freshman at Smithson Valley this summer. And Mason got voluntold that he was going to help with this game. And Mason, we call this game, let me make sure I'm going to call it by the right name. We call this name, where's my notes? Well, basically, you're going to be trying to decide if you know which choice the audience would make. So that it is, would you rather? And so, audience, I'm going to ask you three questions. And you'll either text in A or B or choose A or B based upon what you would rather do. And then, Mason, we're going to turn to you and see if how well you are, how good you are as a judge of people, this audience, and trying to see if you can guess what the majority of them would choose. So you understand? You guys ready? All right, so question number one, hopefully the technology works this morning. Question number one is, would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself? Mason, don't look at the side screens. Just look straight ahead. Let the audience lock in their votes. 2 more seconds. All right, here we go. So, Mason, what do you think the majority of the audience would say, that they would want to see 10 minutes into their own future or 10 minutes into the future of everyone but yourself?
I think it would be their own future.
Their own future. And you are correct. Give Mason a round of applause. Yeah. You're a pretty good judge of people, Mason. Question number two. Here we go. Would you guys rather never use a social media site or an app again, or never ever watch a movie or a television show? Which one would you choose? Lock in your votes. Wow. I really thought it was going to be the other way around, Mason, but let's see what kind of judge of people you are, Mason. You think people would never use social media sites or apps again? Or this is a predominantly adult crowd. Would you never watch another movie or TV show?
Well, people are on their phones a lot, so probably never watch a movie.
Ah, not you didn't get it right. Look, Mason, they actually said they would never use a media site or app again. That's all right. You can give Mason a round of applause for question number two. We got a last one. Have a little bit more fun with this one. Look straight ahead, Mason, for me. So I need you guys to lock in your votes. Would you rather be completely invisible for one day or be able to fly for one day? You think it's a hard one? Yeah, because it's hard for you to decide, huh? Which one would you rather do? Yeah, me too. All right, you guys locked in your votes? All right, Mason, do you think they would want to be completely invisible or fly for one day?
I'm going to say fly.
Fly, and you are correct. Not bad, 2 out of 3. So we do have a parting gift for you, Mason. I know it's back to school time, and so I got you a ream of paper. So thanks, Mason. You can head on back down. Mom and Dad, you can thank me for that later. Check off that off the school supply list. All right, so we started with the game this morning really for two reasons. It's Student Ministry Sunday. Church needs to be a place where we have fun. Amen, right? Amen? And specifically with this game, would you rather? Because as I was just sitting thinking this week and this big idea that we need to get in the game, you know, the title itself kind of implies a choice, doesn't it? Would you rather get in the game, or would you rather sit on the sideline? Would you rather be a starter or a star, or would you rather just be somebody who's in the background, who just stands on the sideline and doesn't get hurt? I love college football. I love watching football. I stare at the title. I stared at the title all week long, and I just like had the urge to go out and play football, and so it moves me. But I don't know if it moves you this morning. I don't know if the title is one that's kind of jumping out and grabbing you and saying, you know what, I need to pay attention closely here because maybe the word of God's going to speak to me this morning. And you see, here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a believer of Jesus, there is a truth that you are in the game whether you've decided to play or not. The Bible's clear. There's some anchor truths that we're going to look at this morning that I'm praying make it crystal clear to us that we as believers, we're in the game. And as we wrap up the Acts series this morning, what I want to do is I've just picked out 3 texts. Felt the Lord take me to 3 different texts. We've already studied them this year in depth. And so they're just going to be a quick reminder to us about a truth, an anchor truth, if you will, that might help us realize, you know what, I am in the game. And God does have a purpose for me individually, but he also has a purpose for us together as a church. I'm calling these 3 points, three anchors this morning, because I really have been praying that I've been praying all week long that they would be kind of like a truth that steadies you, a truth that really helps steady your life this week, next month, and even next year, as together we are a church here on the north side of San Antonio that desires to reach people here in this community. But also together corporately, we desire to try to have an impact to the nations. And so this morning, I just am praying that you would be able to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about your identity this morning. Because I've worked with teenagers for almost 20 years, almost half my life. And one thing that I've discovered that I think is true is anytime we talk about identity, we have to be convinced about what the Word of God says is true about us. If we have a hope to walk outside those doors and be different outside the walls of this building, we've got to be anchored to this truth and some things that God has to say about himself and some things that God has to say about you and some things that God has to say to us corporately as the church. I know life is hard. And my girls went back to school this week. They went back to school on Thursday. And so life got hard in a hurry, right? Getting up at 6:15 in the morning. You know, I had to do it again on Friday, getting stuck in traffic, and all of a sudden there's homework. I mean, really, how many times can you fill out the same sheet of paper? You with me, moms and dads? That's just hard with a little H. I know some of you came to church this morning with the kind of hard in your life that's like a big H. And this morning I've been praying or I just want us to stop and pause for a second and ask the Lord to speak to us about an anchor of identity, something that we might be able to attach, some truth that we might be able to attach real belief to that would help us in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a hard life. And so I just want to ask you to pray with me before we jump into the text. And so would you just close your eyes? It might be helpful for you to hold out your hands and just get into a posture of receiving from the Father right now. I know it's just the title of the series, but would you ask the Father to make it clear to you what it means for you to get in the game? Would you ask the Father to make it clear to all of us what it means for us to get into the game as a church, as a faith family? And then finally, I'd love if you'd pray for me. Ask the Lord to help me as we just process these together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you how it speaks life to us. I thank you that there really are anchor truths that will steady our lives. And God, I pray that you would speak boldly through your word this morning. That you would part the waters of confusion for any of us, the waters that come from the busyness of life, from the questions that we constantly ask ourselves, from our quiet alone times when we even question our own identity. God, I pray that you would speak loudly over us as a church today. And that you would create faith in our hearts to not only already see ourselves as in the game, but that you would create faith to walk out these doors and to tell the world about that. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray and believe. Amen. So you can follow along with the YouVersion Bible app. The verse will be on the screen as well. But our first anchor point, first place we're going to drop anchors in Acts chapter 1. I think it's fitting. And this morning you might also think about it. I was thinking about students getting ready to go back to school. And you know that summer reading project that everybody has that you wait for the last three nights to do. Well, you might think about that today as we just kind of do a flyby through some of these verses. But what I want you to do is turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. Quick background, Jesus is appearing to the disciples for the final time. And these are the last words that he is speaking to them before he ascends into heaven. So they're probably pretty important. And they've got questions. They want to know, when, Jesus, are you coming back? And this is how he answers them. He said, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will, say to your neighbor, you will. You can do better than that. Say to your other neighbor, you will. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so anchor truth number one is just this word power. There are 57 words in these two verses. There's a lot of different verses or a lot of different words that I could have chosen from. But I really wanted us to settle in on this word power as it associates to you, as we relate it to our identity. Because when it comes to knowing the truth about God, we need to remember that he is a powerful God. And he desires to display that power in and through us. And this week, as I was processing this passage along with you from the Bible study, I just kind of jumped out at me right from the start that God wanted the early church to associate this word with themselves. And so I think it's fitting for us to be able to spend some time thinking about it and seeing how this word power clarifies some things for us this morning as a church. You know, I think if we were to take a poll like we just did, and maybe you were to consider yourselves individually this morning, and we were just to not be afraid of pride or what other people would think about us, we're just answer honestly. Maybe some people would be bold enough to say, you know what, I do consider myself a powerful son or daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If that's you this morning, that's great. I'm sure there's somebody in this room that's on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, no, Chris, I don't feel powerful at all. And maybe you're a visitor this morning and you're thinking, wow, I didn't know this was that kind of church. And wow, this is getting a little weird. I don't know what that word power is about. Well, that's okay too. Regardless of where you're at this morning, what I want you to think about is this word power and what it could mean to you and your identity. But there's another word in the verse that I want you to read, and it'll help you understand what I mean by this word power. And it's also the word authority, because I think Jesus wants all of us, like he wanted the disciples, to understand something about God, that God is the authority. He has all authority when it comes to time and seasons. Over time past and over time future, over the seasons of your life, over the seasons of the disciples' life, God has all authority. And you see, we like to tell our students in the student ministry when we study the Word of God together, we always want to ask a question. What's this telling me about God's character or about his nature or about his will or his plan for my life? And in his final words to the disciples, Jesus wanted them to understand something about God's character, that there is something that was fixed about his authoritative word. And you see, it's not merely humanistic destiny or fate. It is by the literal authority of the word of God that they know some things that are true. And one of the things that he wants them to know is that the Father has a good gift called the Holy Spirit for us. Father has a good gift called the Holy Spirit for us. And maybe some of us struggle to see ourselves as walking with authority and walking with power in this life because we haven't realized that yes, the Holy Spirit is the third person of a Trinity, but he's also a person that I have a relationship with. He is a person for me to talk to, a person for me to seek power or a gift from. You see, Paul would tell us that, to ask that God would give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you see, this morning, maybe you just need to start. If you don't see yourself as a real powerful person, maybe you just need to start by asking God, I need more of the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to operate more by the giftings of the Holy Spirit. There's more clarity when we understand the purpose for this power. Jesus told them that they're going to be a witness, that power is going to be displayed, and it's going to be displayed in such a way that you would be a witness to what? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We were at middle school camp this past a couple of weeks ago, and I was just in awe as Drew talked about. The worship was just amazing, and watching students experience Jesus was amazing. But I've also been to I can't remember how many camps I've been to over the course of my life. I think I'm right in saying this was like the 20th summer for me to spend at least 1 week at a youth camp, and I was just thinking about how much youth camp worship has changed. When I was a kid, you were attending an amazing, and if I can use this word, charismatically driven camp. If you went to a camp and there was a guy playing a guitar, I'm not that old, but that's how much worship has changed. But the real, let me see how many people understand this. The real kicker was that if you went to a camp and they projected the words of the songs onto a wall with something called an overhead. And they used overhead transparencies, and we didn't have to sing from a hymnal. They would just move them on and off. And that's how we sang the songs, the early songs. And then that got me thinking about one of the early songs. I think it was in the 10th grade, and this group called Audio Adrenaline wrote a song called Big, Big House. And they created hand motions to this. And just about every worship service that summer would begin with this song. If you know it, you can sing it with me. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. If there's a big, big table with lots and lots of food, there's a big, big yard where we can play football. It's a big, big house. It's my father's house. Right? And I was just watching our middle schoolers worship, and I was just, wow, worship has so changed. I'm convinced that some people created hand motions because maybe they were just afraid of releasing teenagers and then just, you know, raising their hands in worship. So we had to have hand motions to all these songs. But there's a truth to that song that we need to realize this morning. It does have a big house. It does have lots and lots of room. And I think what I want you to settle in on this morning, and this anchor truth, is that God has a purpose for your life. And he isn't just using his authority to do God things. He's using his authority to speak over you. I have a good gift for you. It's called the Holy Spirit. I want to display the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit's power in and through you, as you would be a witness, as you'd go share with people about that big house that's in heaven, that God might include you, inviting somebody to join all of us in the Father's house. The second place we drop anchor this morning is in Acts chapter 9. Let me catch you up really quickly. You can just hold your place in Acts chapter 9. We don't have time to read it all, but in Acts 2 through 6, the church explodes. Thousands of people, literally thousands of people are saved. Thousands of people come to know Jesus. Many people are healed. And then we kind of start reading in Acts chapter 7, 8, and 9. We start reading about the persecution of the early church and some of the sufferings that people went through. And one guy kind of rises to the top of the church's enemy list. And you know him, you know his name is Saul. We could call him a terrorist. He's actively persecuting the church. And in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's stoned, Saul is there. He's collecting stones, or he's collecting coats and handing out stones, and he's giving wholehearted approval to the death of this young man. In Acts chapter 8, he gets permission to take these letters to different cities to go persecute more Christians. In Acts chapter 9, he's on the road to Damascus to do that very thing when this light, when the heavens open and this blinding light comes down and it blinds Saul, and Jesus himself speaks to Saul. You know the story. But what I want you to remember this morning is also the second part of that story is God calls a guy named Ananias to get in the game. Because he wants Ananias to pray over Saul, who's not yet transitioned into his new identity as Paul, and pray healing over him. And yet Ananias isn't really convinced that this is a good idea. And so read with me in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. So the Lord says back to Ananias, "Go, for he is my chosen for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake." Second anchor truth word this morning is the word chosen. That should just bless your socks off this morning. That despite whatever you've experienced in your life, you were chosen by God. I just have to tell you that it's a really good thing to act as an anchor word for our identity. That you were chosen, that you were picked, that that you were desired, wanted, loved, or cherished. And really, all of these are biblical ideas that God actually, that are actually in the Word of God, that God has about you. Chosen, picked, desired, wanted, loved, cherished. Please don't miss this. Don't miss how the voice of Jesus is a game changer in the life of Saul, and it can and will be a game changer in your life. Because the voice of Jesus caused Saul to be transformed into Paul, and the voice of Jesus can bring transformation to you so that you see clearly that you are in the game and you understand your purpose in the game and you actually kind of want to be in the game. I want you to notice quickly, real quickly, three things about the voice of Jesus that it does. The first is really about Ananias. Did you notice the word go? Remember I said Ananias isn't quite convinced that this is a good plan. Hey, God, are you really wanting me to invite a known terrorist into my house? Is this a good plan? And the voice of Jesus to Ananias, it gives him confidence that God is in control. You see, Ananias, he knew he was on Team Jesus. He knew, but he wasn't quite sure that he wanted to be the quarterback on this play. And he was to invite this known terrorist into his house and pray healing on his eyes. And we know from the rest of the passage that he actually does it. Second thing we see about Jesus, about the voice of Jesus speaking the word chosen over Saul's life, is that it brings clarity to Saul as he's transformed into Paul. As his name is changed and he takes on a new purpose for his life. He's going to be my name carrier to the Gentiles, and to the kings, and to the children of Israel. The final one, the place I really want us to camp out for a second, is check this out. The power of the voice of Jesus speaking the word chosen over Saul's life, speaking the word chosen over your life, has the power to change the destiny of a known terrorist into a suffering soldier for Jesus. And so if I could wrap a bow around this second anchor this morning, it would be this. In really specifically speaking to you about your identity and what you think about yourself when you're all alone, and maybe what you think about that no one, not even your wife, your husband or wife, knows about you, is this, is that there's nothing about you that's so ugly. There's nothing about you that's so wounded. There's nothing about you that's so bad. There's nothing about you that's so awful that Jesus can't and won't touch and redeem and use for his glory. It was true about Paul, and he speaks it over us. You are chosen. First day of high school for me was a traumatic one. I quickly found out that I, through a schedule conflict, I was given the senior lunch, freshman in a senior lunch. And so I'm there. I know that they're not going to change my schedule. And so I go and I get my tray, and I'm walking around just looking for a place to sit. I must have gotten in the wrong line. I don't remember, but there is absolutely no place to sit. And at the high school that I went to, there was actually, this will date it a little bit too, there was actually a phone booth in this courtyard that was outside, and it had a little tray on there. And that was the only place that I could find to set my tray and to try to just start eating lunch. I was terrified. Just really, if I'd had a quarter, I would have called my mom and said, come get me, right? And one of the things that I just realized as I was watching our students this summer and just listening to them is that experiences like that, they're very real in the moment, right? I thought my world was about to fall apart until my sister came and she knocked on the door, and she was a senior in high school that year, and she invited me over to my table, and everything changed in a moment. But I realized that this morning, some of you brought a whole different kind of trouble in the room, a whole different kind of hard into the room. And so when you see those words that Paul was to be a chosen instrument, and you hear God pronounce over Saul, who's about to become Paul, that I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer, you're like, oh, wait a minute, God. If that's what it means about getting in the game, I'm not sure that I really want to be on this team. And this morning, I want you to know that's okay, because there really is nothing about you. No thought that you can have No anger that can bubble up in your heart that makes you so far removed that God won't come after you, that he won't touch and redeem those things in your life. And so I was convinced this week that somebody needed to hear that word chosen, because you think you're too far gone. What you've walked through is real stuff today. And you're not sure you're ready to even think about getting in the game. But God wants you to know that he chose you and he has authority over times and seasons of your life. And sometimes it makes us feel uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't understand why he's causing us to walk through certain things. But let Saul's transformation to Paul, let the idea that you are a chosen instrument ring true for you, so that you can tie part of your identity to the fact that Jesus wouldn't have wanted you to walk through that pain if he wasn't going to use it. You see, there's something amazing that this world is going to see when you allow the voice of Jesus to speak loudly with all authority over that pain, over what you're walking through, and you allow him to use it as a megaphone to the nations. You see, there's one more truth anchor that we need to drop, and it's going to be at the end of the book of Acts, in Acts 28. So if you want to find that place, we'll get there in a second. But just got to give you that quick summary, Acts 10 through 28. These chapters, we learn some pretty important things. That Paul plants 14 churches. And he's in jail several times, and he finds the time to write 13 letters, which is most of the New Testament. And so what I want you to do is to think about those churches that Paul planted this morning. And those letters that he wrote is just God, like our pastor teaches us, just God including Paul in what he was already doing. Because he has something for us in the knowledge that he included Paul, because he wants to include us as a church in some things. And in Acts 28, we find out that Paul is in Rome and he's in house arrest. And this is what we read. Closing of the book, Acts 28, verses 28 through 31. Therefore, let it be known to you, this is Paul talking, that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Say to your neighbor, they will listen. And he lived there, Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. And he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and power. Just want to take you behind the scenes right quick to my sermon writing this week. Was convinced of some certain things in a direction and felt solid about that, and read this passage and thought it was a good idea. You know, we're bringing a close to the Acts series. You probably should read the last 3 verses of the book. I mean, we spent 26 weeks in it after all. And I was just waiting before the Lord, asking him to speak something to me through here. I felt really, really, really solid about the direction for Anchor 1 and 2, but I'm just struggling to see how there might be something that kind of jumps out, that speaks to us, that might, when it's spoken over us, change the way that we think about ourselves. And I was just wrestling with it all week and just almost got to the point of just scrapping the whole thing and writing a new sermon. And then right in the middle of that confusion, Jesus just really kind of just pulled up a chair and spoke real clearly to me. And it was so clear that I was stunned that I didn't see it for the first time. And I don't mind telling you today that I have read the Bible cover to cover, I think at least 4 times in my entire life. And I have never noticed it until this week. The third anchor truth that I want you to just grab a hold of today is these 3 words, they will listen. You see, Paul's convinced, and I think we should be too, that people will listen. And by they will listen, Paul doesn't mean all people will listen, but he does mean someone will listen. You see, one of the ways I think Satan attacks our identity as individuals who would share the gospel, but also corporately as a church and as we would be a part of advancing the kingdom here in San Antonio, is to believe otherwise. They won't listen. It's no use going to that side of San Antonio. They won't listen. It's no use planning an initiative into that country. They won't listen. You know, Chris, Kirk, if you knew what my work environment was like, you wouldn't ask me to pray about sharing the gospel here, there, because they won't listen. Students, maybe you say, Chris, if you knew what my school was like, you would understand when I say they won't listen. This morning, I want it to cut through all of the confusion this morning. I want this to cut through all the confusion this morning. The Bible says they will. Think about the homework that Pastor Kirk has given you over the past couple of weeks. Practice your testimony so you can share it in 3 minutes or less, using those three chairs as that visual. Practice sharing the gospel. Write it out on a napkin so that you know how to share it. And I remember the first day in a staff meeting when I heard Pastor Kirk tell me, I need to practice my testimony. I'm like, you want me to go in the room and shut the door and practice my testimony? And it felt awkward. And I remembered Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2 to be ready in and out of season. And my guess is that some of us don't actually go and do that practice thing. Because in a weird way, Satan's lobbed that fiery dart of, you know what, they won't listen, and it's attached itself to a part of your identity so you think it won't matter. What good is it to practice? They won't listen. They won't believe. But I believe with all of my heart this morning that Jesus wants to speak over you something that is true, and that something is this, is that you are a person that someone will listen to. God is going to cause people to come across your path that some of them will listen to only you. There are people that will never come into the doors of this church, but they will listen to you. Not everyone, but someone. And we have to be a people who are ready in and out of season, a people who believe that they will listen. And so if you're struggling understanding how this is a part of your identity, I want you to think about this as we close. What would San Antonio look like if we really believed that God was saying someone's going to listen to you this week? What would our life group ministry at Crossbridge look like if we all really believed that someone was going to listen to us this week? Students, what would your campus Bible studies and what would your teams look like, and what would your schools look like if you went back to school believing in your heart, core truth, someone, God's put someone on this campus who will listen to me. It would transform not only this church, not only the north side of San Antonio, not only the schools, not only the teams we're on, but I really believe all of San Antonio. If 300 people left this room today saying, you know what, God's going to cause somebody to come across my path that will listen to me. But you know what's not a part of that anchor truth? People's response. It's not your responsibility to worry about the other end. It's just our responsibility to believe the word of God is true and that someone will listen. Now, when we were in Southeast Asia this summer, we had an opportunity to take a boat trip out to one of the islands that's near the place that we were, and it was just an awesome opportunity. Water was just the bluest water that I've ever seen, but clear. You could see all the way straight down. The guides took us out on the boats, and we got to go snorkeling. It was just really, really amazing. I've been to some other places that are kind of like that, but no place like this, and so we just had an amazing time. And I've seen the effects here in the States of high tide and low tide. You know, when the tide's in and when it's kind of further out, maybe Corpus Christi on the Atlantic, maybe in California, I've seen it, but I've never seen it in a place like where we were. We launched from one place on the beach, and when we came back later that day, we were at least 300 or 400 yards from where we had launched. That's how far, when the low tide came in, that's how far back the waters receded. And so when we came up, the guide pulls the boat up and he doesn't drop anchor. We're only in about a foot and a half of water. And we're just Americans. We just start piling out of the boat. We didn't realize that the current is still, it's low tide, but the current's still really, really strong. As people are piling out of the boat, this current kind of just, this undercurrent just kind of hits the boat and just kind of flips it to one side. And there was about five or six people still left in the boat, and everybody just like falls to the other side. And so the guy that's with us, he points at me and he says, "You stay right there in the middle of the boat." I'm the heaviest guy still on the boat. And so I get the job of being the anchor to try to steady it. And a few more people start to try to get off. And it happens again. And boom, we go all the way to the other side, falling into the corner. Get up and try to do the very same thing. And it happens again, third time, bam. My wife hits her leg and cuts her knee wide open. It was just, wow, I was just astonished. I really thought the boat was gonna turn upside down. I had to call some people back from that had already started to walk, Lex and Joe and some other people. We had to get about four or five people to just kind of hold it so the rest of us could get off the boat. What I learned that day is by myself, I'm a lousy anchor. I couldn't steady the boat trying to balance it in the middle. By myself, I'm a lousy anchor. But together with these four or five other guys, we were able to steady the boat, and the rest of us were able to get off. And I don't want to confuse you this morning. If just one person goes out believing that somebody will listen to them, I believe God's gonna use that. But I want to leave you with this thought this morning. What would it look like if we as a church raised the banner that we believe the word of God is true, and there's an anchor in it, and one of those anchors is that we are powerful people. Not because we're great, but because the Holy Spirit is displaying his power in and through us. We are chosen instruments, and we are people that others will listen to. So I just want you to close your eyes as we get ready to close and just ask the Lord to speak a truth to you this morning. Ask him to bring clarity to you for what it means, or for what any of this means for you today. Maybe ask him what anchor truth really needs to steady your life this week. Would you ask him what it means for you to get in the game? Or maybe just acknowledge the truth. I should have corrected that. You acknowledge the truth. You say, "God, thank you for showing me that I am in the game. What does that mean for me this week? How do you want to include me this week?" It might be helpful for you to just ask him for a picture of some people's faces, some names that you might even write down of people that he's going to cause to cross your path this week that will listen to you. Students that are either back at school or getting ready to go to school, would you ask the Father to help you be a light on your campus? Ask him to give you boldness to share the gospel with somebody this year in a class. Ask him to give you eyes to see what your friends are walking with and their difficulties. Give you boldness to pray for somebody. Jesus, we're in awe of who you are. Thank you for the cross and the place where you died to give us life and hope. The place, our source of true power and authority to believe these words are true, to know and to anchor ourselves to them. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the gift of power. I pray that over this church family that I love. Would we walk and operate that in that this week? God, I pray in a loving way you would speak the word chosen over somebody today who's hurting, who needed to hear. There's nothing that they've ever done that could cause them to be so far removed from your love and from your power that they can't be touched and used for your glory. And God, I pray that truth would ring in our ears all week. There's somebody that will listen to us. There's a stranger that will listen to us. There's a neighbor that will listen. There's a family member that will listen. I pray that would provide catalytic faith for us as we walk this week. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray and believe.